dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Going to the Rude Guest Hotline right now to talk to our friend, Mr. John Keim. John was at OTAs yesterday watching Jaden Daniels slinging around to Debo Samuel. Not a lot of work for the big fellas in the trenches, but the skill position guys, you get to see a decent look. Johnny, what's up, bud?
What's up, guys? How are you?
What up, man?
All right.
Thank you for making time, dude. I'm curious, did anything stand out to you at all yesterday?
Yes, there was probably the best thing I saw was this like middle-aged man walking out of the field talking to the returners. That's what I love.
Very casual That's use of middle age.
I actually, and in all seriousness, I like that because you were out there talking to like Jalen Lane and KJ Osborne for a few minutes, man. And like, I just think that's helpful. So I actually like that, and I like that Dan Quinn did that. But the other stuff that I liked was watching the young corners like Mike Samardzija and Trey Amos. I felt like when I was able to watch them, like Samardzija looked really good inside, but I really like what I saw from Amos. And I know there's a long way to go. It's just a first impression, but there's a smoothness to him, and it seems like he understands well how to play man coverage, you know, with the eyes, the footwork, the you know, one-handed jab, you know, like the jam. So, like, all that stuff. And, I felt like he moves well out there. So, like, those are some of the little things that kind of jumped out to me with them.
Yeah, I noticed that about Trey as well. Like, some young guys walk in and, you know, they try to act like they are confident. And the other guys, they just confident. He's very confident.
Right. And you know, like, the other thing is there was one, I mean, he breaks well on the ball, turns with just, there's an easiness to his game. And, I liked him before the draft and just the first impression going against some veteran receivers. It was good. And there was, you know how it is too with some of the young corners we've seen in the past, not just here, but elsewhere, they get grabby. Right, like I remember when Rashad Breeland was here, very grabby. Benjamin St. Juice, grabby, and that stuff carries over to that stuff. I almost said a different word, but that stuff carries over into games, and like you didn't see that with him. Yeah. You know, you're not seeing him grabbing up around the shoulder pads by getting beat. Like, it was just good to see. You know, and I think he's going to be a help.
Dude, I love just the length.
Yeah,
the length you notice just walking and talking with the guy. talking with our friend John Keim here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give him a follow at John_Keim, K-E-I-M. Check out the John Keim Report or read all of his work on ESPN.com. I thought the quote that stood out to me most yesterday, there were a lot of guys talked, it was – clearly, everybody's in good spirits. If you're not in good spirits in May at OTAs, you got big problems. But I thought when Cliff Kingsbury said, I know that I'm going to have guys mad they're not getting the ball enough. Yeah. I'll probably get cussed out. And he's like, I'd rather get cussed out by good players wanting the football than just have bad players. I love that attitude.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Only want football.
Right, and you know this too. If they're winning, there's less cussing because, you know, you tend to understand more, right? Like, you know, you're willing to, okay, I'll sacrifice this if we're winning. But if we're not, then that's when it gets even louder. But, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, here's the other thing. This is, especially in this thing, like if you're Debo Samuel, you can get paid after this year if you have a really good year. You know, and Terry's looking for an extension. I assume he'll have one before camp, but to kind of mitigate that. But, like, you know, guys want to get paid, and so it matters to them. But I also would say there will always be people, you know, the guys like Debo, guys like Terry, like they want the ball because they know they can do something with it, right? And but I think like one of the things that's been good here, even like with Terry, is never a guy that gets in. He knows he needs the ball, right? But he's not a, you know, when Deshaun and Pierre were here,
yeah,
they
man.
Might get a little bit more upset, right? I think Terry handles it better. And I don't know how Deebo will do it. Again, I'm sure he's going to want the ball because he knows what he can do. But yeah, like the more talent you have, you know, Noah Brown's going to want the ball. And you know, so I think, yeah, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, they better care about winning. That's all I care about.
Yeah, and so that's one thing I thought, like, the group last year, especially in, like, the receiver room, especially guys like Zacchaeus, whom I really liked, but his focus was on, you know, what's my role today, right? And what's my role on this play or today? And, like, I always kind of go back to the Bengals game where his role was not very big at all, and yet he was always, like, the first one off the bench congratulating guys coming off. And as happy as anybody after that game, and then other games they needed him more, and he produced. So, like, that speaks to a different level. And, you know, you talk about the culture or whatever, but, like, that speaks to a different level of selflessness. And I think that also helps. But, you know, like, if you have really good players and they don't want the ball, then to me there's an issue.
You got a problem there.
Yeah, but
you got a hell of a problem.
But if you're winning, yeah, but if you're winning, you know, you'll take a little bit less if you see, like, if you're Terry, but you see Deebo Samuel making big plays or vice versa, like, okay, I didn't get the ball here, but 17 just got 40 yards. What am I going to say?
Right.
You know, so, like, that matters too.
Totally. I think having the right understanding and the right approach is
vital.
Dude, I think you really see it, and we've heard this stuff, and a lot of times I'm pretty hesitant to buy into any of it, but the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the just the vibes, whatever you want to call the energy they have going, it is really working in Ashburn right now.
And for sure. And you saw it last year during this time is when you started to see it. Like, you didn't know. I just remember thinking at the time, like, boy, it's too bad they're not further along their development because they seem like a really tight team, and really tight teams do really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, well, you kind of underestimated the impact of Jaden Daniels and then a lot of other factors, right? So, you know, it obviously helps. And we saw it, like, I just remember last year, Andrew Wiley telling us, I think this must have, I don't remember if it was like OTAs late or early or mini, one of the mini camps, but just talking about how, like, yeah, you know, he came over to talk to the media like an hour and a half after practice. It was a longer time, and so not everybody was still there. But what he was saying is, like, a lot of players were still in the locker room. They didn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's being like, okay, when they want to hang around and be around one another, that's pretty good. And, you know, I think, like, they have a lot of stuff going on in the building right now. Locker rooms being renovated. They're having to basically change and shower in the bubble, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just, it's not, you know, conducive to happy campers. And yet, you know, doesn't sound like there's a lot of complaining about that because, you know, first of all, they know the locker room is being renovated. It's temporary.
Yeah.
But secondly, it's like, you know, I think because they actually like being out there and around one another, I think that really softens the blow. But it's also like it's the kind of guys you're bringing in. They're pros, you know. Like, I think that really matters.
Totally.
I think the fact that they see also, let's be real, this damn owner cares about us. You know, this front office,
for sure.
they are basically trying to give us everything we need. We may as well go out there and get it done. And like I say it all the time, Jay, you know it, about that when you get a team that seems like a family, they don't want to let their brother down. You get those
right.
Teams that everybody just have their little cliques, they can give a damn about the other person.
Listen, that's the one thing I always remember hearing about when, you know this, playing for Joe Gibbs the first time around especially.
Mm-hmm.
And just what you would hear from guys who played in that era is like the Hogs. I didn't want to let Russ Grimm down. I didn't mm-hmm. want to let Bostic down. The guy next to me, you know, your position group, those guys, and the camaraderie that was fostered, was unique and rare. And that's why I said, like, when I saw it last year at this time, around this time, like, again, it's like, oh, it's too bad. It might be wasted. And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And because, like, you saw what they did, and, like, and it's hard to quantify, like, when does that matter? Where does that matter? Well, it's, you know, I think it's the preparation you put in and holding one another to, like, hey, you know what? You're not putting in the work that you need to put in to keep up with this group, right? And it's the way you can talk to someone else in the room. And then, like, I want to do my work because, you know, the guy next to me is doing his work. So I've got to keep up with that.
Yep.
And I think, like, that does go a long way. And it's, you know, you get late in games and you can rely and trust the person next to you. And I think it matters. Like, how many wins it led to, I don't know, but I think it led to a 12-5 season. I mean, clearly Jaden Daniels is really good, but he could have been really good and they could have been 9-8 just as easily.
Yep. Dude, I also think, as much as, like, it's like they're just playing at a super hot craps table and they've got bets on the 6 and the 8 and it just keeps coming up 6 and 8. Mm-hmm. Because I think AP was a home run. I think there were legitimate questions, but Dan Quinn ended up being the absolute right guy. And then you draft Jaden Daniels, who has all the physical tools, but what we've gotten to know in the year since he's been here is his demeanor and just his work ethic and just who he is off the field.
Phenomenal.
It's unbelievable, man.
Well, that's where, like, you know, even again, I go back to last year because it's that first impression of this entire situation has carried through. And the first impression with him is like, yeah, we know he's good on the field. We know what the arm talent is. You saw it in college. You saw the athleticism in college. But what you didn't know about him was the work, or at least to the level that we learned after he got here. Like, you knew that he did stuff because you know, throughout the process, talking to people else, you talking to people who coached him, whatever, like, you knew that, okay, this guy works, but you didn't realize how much and how much, as, like, people close to him call him a football nerd, and how much that in a very good way. And, you know, because the film study he does, and, like, how much you're not seeing him on Instagram posting pictures of him dragging tires around uphill. You know what I mean? Like, because that's
that sounds
not
so
how
specific, John.
Oh, it's very specific. And, you know, but because, like, when you're posting pictures of yourself and watching film isn't as, you know, like, ooh, look at that, right?
You're supposed to be watching damn film.
Yeah, right. but he does all that. So when you hear that, like, to me, the best stuff with him last year, and again, it's carried through, is what you heard and what you from others, more so than even what you saw, because what you heard was he's getting here at 5:30, 5:45. It's not performative. He's there working, you know, doing the walkthroughs 3 days a week with Tavita and Cliff Kingsbury during the season at 6 a.m., right? Like, that kind of stuff is why he's going that, you know, people can sit there and say, like, why will he have a long career? Because of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's why. And because the talent is what it is. But, you know, I remember talking to somebody several years ago talking about another quarterback. It's like, well, he's got a lot of talent. He goes, well, what does that mean? Like, they all have talent. So what separates those from the others? And what separates Jaden from others is all the other stuff he puts in. He puts in the requisite amount of work. If I had Logan Paulson said this to me one time, I was like, you can't, doing all that doesn't guarantee you're going to be great, but you can't be great without doing that.
There you go. And I think what happens is that, you know, he doesn't just mess around with it. That's his, like, you know, just like a diet. They say, don't go on a diet, have a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
Football is his life. That's what he does. I saw a post he posted and he said, his mama, happy birthday. You know what I mean? Everybody else posted crap.
He's, you know, in the Terminator movies, how the Terminator is sent back in time with one sole focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels is a football Terminator. Like, football is his sole focus, man.
Well, look at how happy
he is. And that's how he's supposed to be.
Right.
look how happy he is when he's on the field. Like, watching him compete, like, that's what he likes to do. You know, and he even called himself yesterday, like, he's like, some people get in there that you start chasing fame and you start chasing other things. And that's one of the things he talked about yesterday, is like, he's an introvert. Like, he doesn't like going out. Like, he's as happy just kind of sitting at home watching film. Like, you know, like, that's what it is. But that's really, really good for this franchise, because it's why, like, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's the number one thing you can build on with him. And because the other stuff, The other stuff is great, but if you didn't have that, there's a ceiling as to what you could do.
Yep.
Talking with John Keim here. 100%. Check out the John Keim Report. Read his work on ESPN.com. Of course, Keim joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Johnny B and I have talked about it at length both yesterday and today. These are voluntary practices. You did have three veteran players miss yesterday, Lattimore, Tunsil, and McLaurin. I'm super dismissive of McLaurin and even Tunsil. The Lattimore one, I find a little more curious. I'm wondering where you land on all of it.
Yeah, well, first of all, with McLaurin, this is what he did the last time. Well, when he was looking for an extension last time, he missed OTA practices, was there at the mandatory mini camps. And so, you know he's going to handle his business, right? And Dan Quinn talked about what a great offseason he had because he had been here up until last week. And he knows the offense. You know what he's going to, you know that very few guys are out there doing more than what he's doing to, to better his game. Like every year, the question after the season is, okay, what is it that you're going to work on this offseason to get better? Because he always has an answer and he always goes and attacks it. Mm-hmm. So, you don't, like this one, I remember when DeSean Jackson was here, he missed OTAs all the time. And yet he'd come into the season, he's going to get 50 some catches, 8 to 10 touchdowns and be the exact, every year, same guy, because they come into shape. He can't, the playbook. With Tunsil, this is what, my understanding is, like he missed these in Houston. You obviously would want guys here to build up like what we talked about earlier, that camaraderie, like this is when you do that. And I know he's been here for some of the stuff, but this is when you do that. So you can't just say it's important and then dismiss it if someone's not showing up. But, we know the talent level. We know he's really good. We'll see. And I think with Lattimore, somebody asked me this on a YouTube page or something like that, where it's like, what concerns you have with this? Like, well, my concerns remain the same whether he's here or not. Is he going to stay healthy, and what level can he play at? And I don't think we're going to get that answer right now, right? So if he were here doing it, if he's looking great, okay, the question still remains. Can he do it in the fall, and will he be healthy? Because those are the two big questions that we all have about him right now.
Yep.
As long as he comes into camp, I think the mandatory stuff you've got to be here for.
Yeah.
As long as you're doing your stuff there and – et cetera. I think the other thing that helps is this is what we were talking about earlier, is a very close team. And, I think Dan Quinn talks a lot about getting to know guys on a personal level and trying to connect with them that way rather than just football and trying to understand like what makes them tick, et cetera. And I think like you would think that mitigates some of this. I don't know, but I don't know. I the other thing is too with the corner, it's definitely a solitary position.
Yeah.
Although one thing that they did talk about like was his adjustment to the defense. Well, this is a time where you can get kind of more adjusted to the defense. But again, my concern with him would still be the same if he were here or not. What is his health and where's his level?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
If he stays healthy, he'll be good, I think.
Yep. Until they make that thing mandatory all the time, I'm not really caring.
Johnny,
it's voluntary, man. Yeah.
They set it up for these types of things to happen, and
but you know what the league does? They get a lot of coverage.
Yeah.
That's all they care about.
They know what they're doing. Kai, yes, thank you for the time, dude.
All right,
always.
Jay.
Thanks, guys.
Be cool, man.
All right. That is our friend John Keim on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give him a follow at John_Keim, KEIM. We come back, you're going to hear from the man himself, Jaden Daniels.
Hey, it's B. Mitch here. And on June 20th, I'm riding my bike from D.C. to Dewey Beach. And I would like you to join my team. All right, we're riding to support autism and disability inclusion. And trust me, this ride is an absolute blast. It all ends with a beachside festival at the Beach House Hotel in Dewey Beach, which is just a block from the ocean, right in the heart of the action. So let's ride together and make a difference and kick off the summer in style. All right, you can go to biketothebeach.org right now and join my team, Riding 30. That's RIDIN_30. That's biketothebeach.org. Biketothebeach.org. You can join today.
dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Devin the Fan. Jaden Daniels spoke yesterday, and when Jaden talks, it matters, folks. I wanted to start here, B. Were you surprised by, I don't know if you stuck around for his availability or not. Jaden obviously has added a little bit of weight, right? And I think you see it in his shoulders and his arms.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a year older in an NFL weight program. He puts the work in all capacities.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we should be acting like this is just
and he
crazy
felt,
story.
He felt exactly like what you're saying. He right. didn't, he wasn't thrilled with it. And he doesn't, he's like,
I don't think he minded, but he just thought it was silly.
No, he didn't mind. He didn't like it. I'm telling you from what I know. Yeah. So he is like, I told you I was going to go work out, and I went and I worked out in the gym.
I personally, as a reporter that was in the room, I didn't ask him about that. I asked some other guys kind of joking around, and Johnny Newton gave me an awesome answer. I was like, Johnny, you think five looks bigger? He's like, man, I saw him bench at 350. And then he just started dying laughing. Like, I think, as like a silly sidebar story, it's cool. But I think he got like numerous follow-ups. Like, can you tell us how much weight you added and stuff? And I'm like,
but like,
man.
When we first started talking about it, the whole, my mindset is, as you play in this league, you will get bigger.
Right.
Because you're going to be in the NFL program, you will be getting older. I came to Washington, I was drafted, I was 195 pounds. My first year, I played at 202. The next year, I was 209. Then I was never under 216 again.
And you generally lose weight over the course of the season.
Yeah.
I don't think fans always understand that. Most guys lose weight during the season.
Yeah. Because
they're just, they're getting grinded to a halt, and you can't eat compared to the work. The only way you gain weight during the season is bad weight.
Yeah. As the people that's doing the wrong stuff.
Right. So, Jaden talked about a lot of interesting stuff. I think perhaps the biggest thing is there are zero changes to this offensive staff.
Mm-hmm.
And you add some players. I mean, things are always going to change somewhat. I want to start Landini with number six. Just talking about the relationships Jaden has specifically with Cliff Kingsbury.
I mean, the main thing is just being comfortable. Like I said, familiar with the play call, familiar how you call plays, and you know what we're trying to accomplish playing the play out.
Mm-hmm. That was the abbreviated version. but I Jaden just has such a positive kind of aura about him.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I asked him, and I think this will be number three, Landfill, is I described him earlier. He's the football terminator. Like he's so singularly focused on ball. And that's a great, great quality. But at the same time, I think anybody, whether you're, Bill Gates or
you should be,
or a quarterback, like I asked him if he had to like almost challenge himself to unplug for a little while. Number three, Leva.
Jaden, for a guy like you that is just so focused on football all the time, do you have to force yourself to unplug a little in the offseason?
Yeah, I think I did. Obviously, you want to get back to it after. You know how the season ended, but it's good for you to kind of, you know, unplug and find different ventures and, you know, live a little bit.
But then he goes on to explain that, like, he's not, he's just an introverted dude. And
some people just don't like to go and do all the time, but they have things that they very much enjoy. You know, I like to jump on that bike and go ride. That's not fun for a lot of people. It's fun for me. You know what I mean? I go play golf. I can play golf right here on a bunch of great golf courses. I don't have to always go on the trip to play golf. But other guys have to always go on a trip to play golf. These Jaden, he takes, like Art Monk and Daryl Green, I said this before, they would take a week or two off and then they were right back at football. And I wasn't that way at first. I took 3 months. Then I jumped back into it. And then I got to the point of week or two, I was right back at it. And I guess that's why my focus is like it is today.
I think everybody finds their way to do it, right? There's no one.
If it works for you, keep doing it. Don't care about what other people say.
But I think one thing that works for Jaden is just his mental focus and just his. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. With all the silly stuff that gets said around Jaden and his mom, and my point is, you've got a young quarterback who's a star, who's really grounded, that's close with his family, and we act like that's a problem.
Yeah.
And then
society basically tells you when you become a level of star in their eyes, you're supposed to get away from your family and then let them be the people that you're close to. To hell with that. One finger salute to that.
Jaden is just himself and comfortable with who he is.
Yes.
I mean, I've never been the type of individual that I could say looks for fame. You know, I'm a very introverted individual. So I just go out there and live my life. I live it. I don't really go too many places. I didn't before that, so I don't think that's going to change for me either.
I don't think it's going to change for him either.
I'm with it.
I think it's...
hey, it's probably best. There ain't nothing out there but trouble looking for you, dog. So do what you do, how you do it, and don't let other people try to influence you to do what they want you to do.
Much has been made a lot by a guy named Riss Cussell about primetime and international games and how bad that is for the team and how much of an inconvenience. And
that has to be a bit. he can't really believe that.
Jaden got asked about playing a lot of primetime, a lot of national games. Number 10, Landini.
I think that mantra still stands. I don't think we're looking at it as a, you know, we play a Monday night or Sunday night. We're just looking at it like, you know, we're playing this opponent this week on a Sunday, on a Monday. It doesn't matter if we play them on Tuesday, Wednesday. Like, we're just going out there and playing football.
The mantra comes from Dan Quinn, who says, anybody, anywhere, anytime.
I'm with that.
I mean, I that's the right mindset.
Like, I know we would go play Philly at the Vet all the time. And the reporters will always say, man, you worry about that turf? And a lot of people are like, yeah, man. I'm like, can I ask you a question? Are they playing on another surface? No. I said, well, why the hell do we care? If we had to play them in the parking lot, as long as we play on the same damn surface, that's all that matters.
Cold game,
but you don't think
games.
About it? No, I don't think about it. Because if they got to do it, I'm going to do it. If you think about the turf, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get your ass hurt.
Cold games, weather games, rain games.
Don't make a difference.
Both teams are on the same field, man.
As long as we're on the same field, we're playing the same surface, I can care less.
What about a rebuilt offensive line for Jaden in year two? Obviously, they traded for Laremy Tunsil. They draft Josh Connerly, numero 11. Onse, I think.
Yeah, I mean, those are good additions that we brought in. And obviously, Adam and his side of the building is doing, you know, you got to trust them with everything that's going on. So obviously I'm excited. Those are two great individuals, and we got even more that they brought in. So I'm excited to, you know, get to work with them and still progress and, you know, get ready for camp.
I think Jaden's excited for all the new people, and he'd be excited if they didn't change anything. Like, that's just how the dude's wired.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different dude.
I think a lot of times what you don't understand is when you're in it, you don't see it like everybody else sees it. You know, when you're in it, you understand what happened. And now you just start thinking about how we're going to work this thing together. It's not the individual anymore. It's just a person, a piece of the puzzle who was just put into that place. It's not necessarily the name of the player, what they did, what you know what they've done. It's like now, okay, when you step into it, you got 22 pieces. Well, 11 pieces when you're on offense. And you go, okay, we need to fill these with some legitimate spots. Right now, he got some more spots filled with legitimate pieces.
I just saw this line from the chat from Eric on the YouTube stream. We went from Ryan Fitzpatrick and David Mayo to Jaden Daniels and Bobby Wagner. We deserve this as fans.
I'm with that.
How big of a difference was your rookie year to your second year, B?
It was a big jump. Because, like, when you come in your first year, you're trying to fit in. You're trying to figure out what you're supposed to do. You're trying to learn all your stuff. But that second year, you now know. And now you're beginning, like, you had Santana talk about it a lot, when you develop that routine, you know. But Jaden has a routine already. So, but his second year now, he's going to be more familiar with it. He doesn't have to learn his teammates and his body anymore. He is there. Now you just go and act. Like I always say, I always use this example. When you jump on a bicycle, do you ever say, I got to push my right and my left? You just do it, right? And when football gets to be like that, and it starts in your second year, but around that third year, you're on autopilot.
I asked Jaden what it's like in the OTA, the offseason process, where you're not learning the playbook now. Mm-hmm. You're just implementing it.
Yeah.
Getting on the same page with the guys. There's some guys that played with me last year, some new guys, so trying to get them.
Cut out again. The haters. They can't stand us. Who are we? The Commanders.
The Commanders.
Jaden went on to say, you know, I want all my receivers, all my options to view things the same way I view it. And I think that's what this time is perfect for. Mm-hmm. Not to mention they're going to have 6 weeks to do it.
They got some time.
When we come back, you'll hear from head coach Dan Quinn. Phone lines opening.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Noon, folks. Shout out to Anna Gatta DeVita. Not sure this might be a debut on a program. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. Have we ever played this, Landville? Now, we have played Dan Quinn before, but never what he said yesterday. One funny way to start the presser. Obviously, at this point, I think anybody who listens to our show has seen Dan Quinn's commencement speech at Salisbury University, where he finished his word, his speech with "Let it bleep and rip," and so DQ always makes a kind of an opening statement, and then says, you know, for questions, and he John Kime is like, "All right, you ready to let it rip?" And we all just laughed. It was entertaining.
He told me yesterday, walked with me and said, "Hey, I ain't bring y'all here to just stand around. Get your ass to work." I say, "I got you."
Levy, it'll be cool if we could find what DQ said about B. That's not on the sheet, but I'd like to dig that up. But we could start with, you can choose how you want to feel. I'm out of the business of telling people how to feel. But as Dan Quinn very much said, everything is different for each player when it comes to voluntary practices and some guys that weren't there.
It's not one size fits all for everything. And in my opinion, like, this has been a fantastic offseason. And it's not just the players. It's also the coaches, too, John, to say, can we level up, you know, and to level up, you know, what do you look at? And what do you want to change? What do you want to keep the same? And so the offseason's been excellent, you know, and so I've been in touch with every guy on the team. And so I've really enjoyed this time. I also have some, you know, stronger relationships than you did maybe a year ago with everybody being new. And now, so that blend of the year two players, you know, to go through with it. It's one of the things I do enjoy about coaching. Like, if you can get to know the man before the ball player, it helps take it and push it a little further. And so for the guys who are the year one, the new players here, not just a rookie, but a new free agent that may have joined the team, getting to know them and watching them practice today for the first time, like, you could see guys work hard in the strength and conditioning, but it's another thing to see the speed of processing and on the field. And so today we just did some 7-on-7 and some 2-minute, and then we'll add more team as we go. I like to ramp it up, you know, as opposed to doing everything all at once day one.
Not one size fits all, B.
It's not. And I think Jimmy Johnson explained that a long time ago. Remember when Jimmy Johnson, they said, what would you do if Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman fell asleep in a meeting? After he had cut a guy for sleeping, he said, I'll get him a pillow. All right? Same thing when it comes down to voluntary minicamp. OTA, not even minicamp.
I think Bill Parcells had some pretty famous quotes on Lawrence Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't treat everybody the same, but I treat everybody how they need to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Terry stuff, I hope there's not a fan out there with a concern about Terry McLaurin. I think that would be incredibly misguided. Laramie Tunsil just doesn't do the voluntary stuff. I think he's been in the building a bit.
I said this when I was on the executive committee with the union. I said, y'all got to stop letting people be able to say voluntary and then try to hold people accountable. If it's voluntary, then damn it, he don't have to be there. If he wants to go, he goes. But if he gets to a certain level and he don't go, okay.
The only thing I have found to me just really important is these are not holdouts, and in no way should that be phrased as a holdout. This is a guy that is missing something that's voluntary. It's optional. DQ, though, I really liked let everybody hear the – I asked about Sam Cosmi because we haven't gotten an official update. Here's your official Sam Cosmi recovery update.
Yeah, Sam is doing excellent. Like, he has really put the work in. He's hitting all the markers that he's supposed to. We're not going to miss one step along the process. But it starts with him, man, like just the everyday intensity that goes with it. And there's a work mindset that comes out of that. And like, that's important because that's who Sam is. And he's off to, you know, really strong start, hitting all the markers he's supposed to up to now.
That's all you can hope for.
That's it.
Number three, Dan Quinn talking about Jaden Daniels, kind of just the dude after what was an absolute whirlwind successful rookie year.
He's an amazing teammate. The amount of work that he puts in that goes unseen here, to get ready to play, to, you know, to learn it, to teach others, to, you know, connect the guys that's going through. There is no flinch in Jaden Daniels. He is an absolute, like, as focused and relentless as you could about getting better. And so that's why I said for us around here, like, man, we appreciate that. And there's a lot of things that, you know, he and the rest of us are really digging in hard on to say, all right, can we get this better? And if he does that, I do that, others do that. Like, we thought collectively, man, there's a lot of space we can get better at.
Mm. Got to get better every day, man. No
man,
matter what.
When you get a quarterback like that, everybody got to up their game.
Last one, and I think this is so important. Number five, what the Commanders did this offseason, basically keeping everyone on their staff. A couple minor changes here and there, but this just doesn't happen. And it, I think it speaks to a few things. I think it speaks to the culture they've built, the team they've built, everybody's thought that they can get better and maybe really contend for something that matters, hardware. And I go back to ownership's commitment to the team. Yo, if you don't think you work at the nicest place or you're not paid the right amount, you're going to kind of look. Nobody was really looking. Number five, landfill, Dan Quinn talking about keeping his staff together.
It's a really big deal. And that's why I did lead off with that intentionally, because I don't think we've got a chance to really talk about that as much as I thought we would, because looking back for me, it's pretty rare. And we've also added in Brian Schneider, somebody that, you know, I've had some experience with, who is also another like true heavy hitter on the special team side. But I guess it fast tracks some of the things that we understand, but it also allows us probably to get a little deeper, you know, than we were in year one, to get closer, better understanding of one another. And that's been a big deal for me. So year one to year two for a player is big. It's, for coaches, it's big too. And so, man, I really appreciate that.
We appreciate it too, Dan. Here's what else we appreciate. Giving folks an opportunity to get some stuff off their chest.
There we go.
We call it Bleep You Thursday. We come together as a community for fellowship in being mad at things. It could be something big. It could be something small. It could be something trivial. It could be something alive. We're going to let our guy Jeff Walker lead off because Jeff had a hell of a day yesterday.
Yes, he did. little bro.
Believe You Thursday happens now. Phone lines open now. Jeff, press the button. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.